Chapter 20. Hector Ransom was infatuated, and he loved the feeling. He was in love with love, he admitted, and after spending all those dreary mosquito-crazed months working in the Gulf in the wilting heat and the drizzling rain, he was ready for something light, something pleasant, even something romantic in his life. He had come to Chicago in search of the almighty dollar, and while he hadn't found the perfect scheme yet, he had found the Pussycat Club, just off the Loop on Clark Street. It was a topless $5-a-dance joint, where the liquor was watered down and the girls underage runaways. Hector had visited there 4 consecutive nights and had hit it off with 17-year-old Rosemary Ural from Waltman, Maryland. Rosemary was a bright girl who had outscored her classmates on their math SATs, but rather than accept one of the 3 Ivy League scholarships she had been offered, she chose to make her way to Hollywood and become an actress. It was a great time in America. Fame was there for the taking. All you had to do, basically, she had imagined, was to suit up, show up, and reach and pluck the golden ring when it came around. Chicago was where she ran out of money, and she did what all runaway girls do. She sold her body. At 17, there were tons of men willing to pay $5 to have that body lap dance, table dance, and private dance for them, and she was knocking down over $2,000 a week. She had $1,500 locked up in a CD at Fifth Third Bank, and she was working on a second. The night she met Hector, he was just another face, just another admirer. He followed her every move when she worked the pole, and when she finished and came out on the floor, he raised his hand immediately. He paid for 7 lap dances in a row and talked to her, while she ground her hips inches above his lap. She turned her back to him, she rotated and turned her front to him, nude from the waist up, and he learned some of her story. He was touched, as she was half his age and innocent beyond anyone he'd met since he was in high school. On the 4th night, she accompanied him back to the flophouse where he was logged in, and he gave her the card. He gave her the card because he had actually run out of cash. The $6,500 was down to $2,500, and Ermeline's tip money had all been tossed away on the dances. He had just enough in reserve to keep off the streets until he found Johnny Bladani and talked him into a score of some kind. He knew that Johnny had told him to go either east or west, and he knew Johnny would be angry as hell that he'd come instead to Chicago. But he had his ace in the hole. He had the goods on Johnny, and the guy wouldn't be able to turn him down when he came snooping around for work. So Rosemary accompanied him home at 1:15 a.m. on a cloudless late December night, wind chill, -10 degrees, blowing snow off the lake, and they crawled into his bed and made fast, unsatisfying love. She asked for money. He told her he had something better than money, and laid Ermeline's American Express between her bare breasts.
"What's this?"
she asked.
"Plastic money, all for you. I've been saving it for a surprise."
"This isn't your name. Who the hell is Ermeline Ransom?"
"My ex. She knows all about it. I've got her okay because she owed me."
"So, how much is the limit?"
He smiled and took a pull of a Bud Light.
"That's the great part. Amex has no limit. You could probably buy up to 3, 4,000.
"Damnation.
I told you I liked you. Stick with me and I'll take even better care of you."
"Come here,"
she said, and pulled his head under the blankets.
"We're not done here yet."
He did as she said, and she carefully reached behind her to the purse she had left hanging on the bedpost and dropped the card inside. A great start to an otherwise boring night. 2 days later, she had rung up over $3,200 in plastic purchases all over Chicagoland and as far west as Barrington. Nothing was cheap, and her tastes became more expensive as she shopped and learned what treasures were available to a person with Amex Green. She had avoided Hector by skipping 2 nights of work, in case he wanted her to tone down the spending. She planned another attack tomorrow, this time along Michigan Avenue. She needed exquisite tops for her Hollywood headshots, and now she had the card to access those items. Just before she had maxed out the card, she would charge a ticket to Hollywood and leave this Midwest hellhole. Her luck ran out in Macy's. The store detective nabbed her, called the cops, and she was processed through on 2 criminal charges. They took her name, current address, phone, place of employment. She lied and told them she worked a night shift at Mickey D's and notified her parents. She was a minor, so the result would be acceptable and wouldn't even make a dent in her plans. Her parents would ignore the entire matter, as they had ignored her all her life. To top it off, she got to keep everything else except the Macy's stuff, which was fine.